Healthy food is good for brother, sis, and dad. How can mom make them stop eating food that is bad?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and with me is Alana. Hello.
Hello.
And you were last here when we talked about the Berenstain Bears' new baby, were you not?
I was. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. That baby is now a five-year-old?
Although, honestly, I feel like in the books, there wasn't a lot of, like, toddler, preschool.
No, they went straight to kindergarten.
Yeah.
They went straight to kindergarten. So sister is at least 5 years old now. As I mentioned a few episodes ago, she's a cognizant, independent, young little
bear.
Yeah. And so today we are discussing the Berenstain Bears and too much junk food. Now, usually I try to find someone whose career is related to the theme, but I believe that having you on is probably far more, what's the word I'm looking for? Accurate. Than having
someone whose career is in junk food.
Yeah, or a nutritionist or anyone like that, because you're kind of the mama bear to this family. as a metaphor, but as like literally you behave a little in a way as mama bear behaves in this book.
I stand with my hands on my hips and wear like a polka dot shmata.
And tell us not to eat things.
Yeah.
So before we go into the plot, I want to talk a little, just a second, about like what you define personally as junk food. Like, what do you think junk food means?
You know, maybe I'm jumping ahead. I actually would define it very similarly to how they define it in this book,
which is
really interesting to me, because this book is 21 years old, which is food that isn't giving nutrients to your body, food that is highly processed, food that is probably taking the place of other food that would making a little more sense to eat.
It's actually 31 years old. It's a 31.
Wait,
three
it is.
Decades old. Yeah, 1985. 85 is too much junk food. I was doing a little looking around, and junk food, I believe, only entered the vernacular in like the 1950s.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It caught me off guard, but then I was like, oh, that was kind of around the time that processed food really became a thing. Like, once upon a time, we didn't have the luxury of eating food that wasn't nutritious. And, well, I mean, obviously candy and snacks have always existed, but they were so rare that they weren't anything that was going to supplement your diet.
Do you remember, I think it's Little Women, that for Christmas in their stocking, they get an orange.
Right.
And it's the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So sometime around the 1950s, food processing and packaging and preservatives made storing foods like this like easy.
Well, and companies that wanted to sell food.
And thus this issue. So, I mean, when this book came out, you know, not to jump the gun, but when this book came out, like, junk food was still, especially for Stan and Jan Berenstain, it was like a modern invention. Like, it was something that they certainly didn't have as kids. This is something they noticed in their kids. And so I can see it being a subject ripe for a story. And what is that story? Let's dig in to the plot. All right, so what happens in this book is, after setting up that Bear Country is a mecca and mom starts noticing the kids are gaining weight because of the horrible stuff that she's allowing them to eat. That as a parent, she's let into the house. So she puts the hammer down and says that the family's going to eat better. She puts all the junk food in the freezer. Papa's totally on board until he realizes he's a part of it. They go to the supermarket. They buy healthy food. Their doctor, Dr. Grizzly, sees that they are buying healthy food. And Mama says, yeah, but I don't think the family's totally on board with this. So Dr. Grizzly invites the whole family to a health talk, special slide presentation that she has all set up at her office to show them, you know, why eating healthy is important. She grabs Papa's fat, sends them on their way, and they enter a race because now they're eating healthy. So the family enters a race. They don't win, but they win an award for the only family to finish the race. And at the end of the day, it seems like they're all healthy eaters. Mama's plan has worked. The family will eat healthy from now on. Gone are the delicious snacks, and in their place are carrot sticks, nuts, and raisins. And I guess that's it. Everything worked out. The family is healthy now. What did you think of this book?
Overall, I was surprised at how well it held up, actually.
In what way?
I would say we probably have more problems with weight gain from too much food and food choices now than we did then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not swapping them out for, like, the Snackwells version of Yum Yums or whatever it was
they were eating.
She's actually, like, swapping out for real food, like carrot sticks. One of the things they talk about, they go to the supermarket, but they also talk about food from their orchard or their garden.
Right,
which is cool.
Right.
And I think for kids, I like that because I think this book is really good for, I'm assuming it's aimed at like early elementary kids, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it's really good for that level because it kind of shows you like, where does your food come from? It comes from all these different places. There are healthier and less healthier options of food. Why do you need to eat healthy? It's a little clunky, but then they try to transition to exercise being also important to your health.
Well, let's talk about the kids' habits, because in the beginning of the book, it shows that Mama is concerned because the kids are eating potato chips when they're watching television, and they're eating popcorn at the movies, and they're getting all kinds of candy and gum when they go to the mall. And she's concerned at what they're snacking on. And so rather than say, hey, maybe you don't need to be snacking while you're watching TV, maybe you don't need snacks at the movies, maybe you don't need snacks every time you go to the mall, she decides to replace these snacks with healthy snacks.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do we think of that?
I'm wondering how she smuggled them into the movie theater. But aside from that, well, as you mentioned, I mean, those kids aren't buying all that stuff with their own money. So
right,
that is one part of it. One interesting thing in the book is that the kids don't fight it.
Right.
Papa does some, but I actually, again, kind of like that. There are so many kids' books that say, like, I don't like vegetables. Ew, green beans for dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of neat. I mean, I don't like that they cast the father in that role.
Right.
Because
we'll get to
that leaves
yeah.
Mama alone as the grown-up. But I do like that they took it away from the kids, and the kids were just like, oh, all right, we'll give this a try.
Well, they seem to be a family that, like, as their shopping habits seem to involve cookies and candies,
because right.
their pantry is stocked with
yes.
junk, with this junk food.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the parents are culpable in this.
Yeah, definitely. I kind of appreciate it also when, so she cleaned, Mama cleans out the cupboard, but she doesn't throw it away. She puts it in the freezer. I wish that she taught the kids moderation in addition to not eating all the places you go everywhere
right.
all the time. I also do think it's okay to have, they had really funny, I can't remember the names, but like, the snow whatevers and the all the different, I can't remember the names of them. But anyway, I do think it's okay to have those things occasionally.
Sugar balls and Choco Chums.
Yeah, Choco Chums. That's what I was trying to remember, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that one of the issues that I have at the very beginning is that Mama notices a change in the cubs, and so she makes a sweeping change in the family without first consulting Papa. Which,
we've established in every single book that that's what's going to happen.
Right,
and then
right.
he aligns himself with
the
kids.
Mama becomes the decision maker in the family.
Yes.
She doesn't notice the children gaining weight and then take it to Papa and say, hey, let's...
Well, so she puts the food in the freezer. And what I do like about that is she's not basically saying, you guys are all in trouble and I'm throwing this food away.
Right.
You know what I mean? It is sort of a sudden shift. But I guess overall, what they do that I like, and maybe this is just because this is more the way people thought about food back in the 80s compared to now, is there's no food. She doesn't really demonize specific characteristics of food the way mm-hmm. we tend to now. And I think even in the 80s, like, I think that was like the oat bran era or whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
She doesn't have that thing where it's like, we're going to substitute like low fat potato chips for the regular potato chips, or, you know, eggs are evil, so instead we'll eat this, you know, we're all into oat bran, so we'll make oat bran everything, you know, and then we were like, wait a minute, those oat bran muffins each have 500 calories. Wait,
right.
we need a lower bran, you know, like, so that's kind of cool. There's not that like food dichotomy where now we tend to infuse food with like characteristics as if it on its own is like angelic or demonic. She
yes.
doesn't do that. I think so. Those are things that I think are cool. But yeah, she, I mean, and it seems like in many books she has this strategy where it's like, step one, she notices something is off in the family. Step two, she makes a unilateral decision to make an extreme change on behalf of the entire family. Step three, Papa whines,
right?
You know, and it's just sort of like that. I just it's probably an established pattern at this point. It would be maybe strange for them to change it, but I don't think that's not a healthy model for kids to see in their parents.
I don't think it's a healthy model for kids to see in their parents. I also don't think it's a healthy model for changing a diet.
Well, changing anything, honestly.
Right, yeah. But like food especially carries a lot of connotations with it. It's hard to change eating habits. And to me, this is something personally that I could see Papa getting the motivation to cheat at the family diet plan because he's not on board with it. It's something that's being forced upon him. He wasn't consulted. There's nothing to stop him from going out and buying his own Choco Chums and sugar balls behind the family's back.
Well, and that to me is where the moderation comes in, and that if they could address that, which is a little more complicated, and this is a book for young kids, but you know, if they could say, you know, it's your birthday and of course we're still gonna have a cake, we're just not gonna, you know, have three cakes or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I think that would make it more sustainable.
Yeah, and it is surprising they do have a ample garden.
I was thinking that. I was like, if you have a garden and an orchard, you actually have to eat that food.
Right.
Like, she doesn't want to waste the food, so she the junk food, so instead of throwing it away, she puts it in the freezer. I'm like, meanwhile, who's eating all your apple?
It's interesting when they go to the supermarket and they're buying whole grain bread. Mm-hmm. It mentions whole grain bread.
This is
pre-whole grain era.
Oh, you're right.
It isn't to say wheat bread. Whole grain bread and cereal, fresh milk and cheese. And it does say that she buys fruits and vegetables they can't grow in their own garden. Like, it acknowledges that ideally they would be eating things local, but she does want variety in their diet and enjoyable foods beyond what they can grow. Yeah, Gert Grizzly seems amazingly prescient in her ability to suss out what's going on in another person's grocery cart. I don't know. To me, that sort of breaks some sort of like neighborly taboo to comment on something that people have loaded into their cart. Like, I always, if I'm at the grocery store and I run into someone, I'm not going to comment on what's in their cart.
Well, and then be like, come on over to my office and I'll give you a slideshow. Like, it's set up in like an old-timey projector, sort of.
Dr. Grizzly.
Maybe that is an old-timey movie. That's just 80s.
Dr. Grizzly has only been in a couple of books, and she's already established herself. In my mind, she lacks certain social graces. She doesn't even have the greatest bedside manner when it comes to like the local doctor. She's very curt. And I like that about her. I like that, you know, like there's just something about Gert Grizzly that's a little off-putting, but she's there when you need her. The good food for healthy bodies slideshow TED talk that she gives to the kids is
frightening.
One of the most frightening things in a Berenstain Bear book. I remember this from when I was a kid. It was a hilarious yet scary series of images. The first thing you see is a slide of a bear in his underwear, which you and I had a conversation off mic earlier about the need for bears to wear
undergarments.
You don't see a bear in the wild wearing undergarments, but you also don't see a bear in the wild and think that's a naked animal. It's just a bear. But the bear has modesty garments on his lower half. Presuming it's a he. And then the next slide is a gutted bear.
Sort of like Day of the Dead.
Yeah, it's a bear with its skin off. But like, you see organs, you see muscles, you see skull
and a tongue.
You see this tongue coming out of this like half skull. It's sort of showing you all the systems kind of together. Now, I just recently read this book to our 5-year-old several times.
Who thought these pages were awesome.
Who thinks these pages are incredible. And it actually does a really nice, simple job of demonstrating the nervous system, the circulatory system, the skeletal muscular system, musculoskeletal, is that what it is? Something?
And the digestive system.
And the digestive system. Like, you see, like, Berenstain Bear nervous system, Berenstain Bear circulatory system. It's all there. It's laid out for you. And it says what it does. Like, the nerves help you think and feel. The blood helps keep your blood flowing. The muscles and bones give you strength and help you move. And then the digestive system is there to, you know, give you nourishment.
You know what? I just noticed her last slide. It's got the different types of food and what they do for you. And I only just noticed now they're actually broken up in the four food groups. I don't even think that way anymore. There's no pyramid.
It's your good old food groups. It is your meat and fowl. It is your milk and cheese. It is your fruits and vegetables. And then your breads and cereals. And
honey. They added honey down there.
Yeah. So you have like a... So they, you know, they still do the old four food groups, but it... she does a really good job. The Cubs ask her what's wrong with junk food, and I really like her answer. And it's something that you see in a lot of modern books about nutrition, which is we're not demonizing the food itself. It's just that when you eat it, it fills you up, so you're not getting food that actually gives you nutrients.
Right.
There's no guilt involved. There's no, you know, it's just saying you're just putting something in your body that doesn't do anything for your body, but doesn't leave any room for the good stuff. Which, I don't know, if I had, I know I read this as a kid, but that didn't sink in. And I think if that message had been sold to me more as a child, as opposed to the don't eat sweets, they'll rot your teeth, I think that would have meant more to me.
Well, and I think partly because Mama does make substitutions. So on the one hand, where it might be better to say, you know what, you don't need to eat while you watch TV, because that's mindless eating. On the other hand, she's giving them apple slices. So instead of them feeling, they're not feeling deprived, right, is what you hear from the kids.
Now, what is mindless eating?
Well, you don't even notice how much you're eating. You're not paying attention. I mean, in two of their three examples, they're really doing something else as the main activity. They're watching TV or watching, it's also sedentary things, yeah, which we certainly do still now. One thing I did notice is, so their healthy choices are apple slices, carrot sticks, nuts and raisins, which now we tend to think of as like, you know, some is okay, but if you were going to have mountains of that, like there's, yeah, a lot of sugar in the raisins. And then frozen yogurt is one of those things that I think is a substitution.
That's
food,
what it is,
actually.
It's
yogurt, so it's healthy.
Well, and earlier in the book, they show the kids at the mall getting gumballs. And
right, which actually probably have like 10 calories 10 grams, each, yeah, instead of a whole giant. They're pretty big cones.
Eating these giant cones of frozen yogurt. This must also have been the beginning of the frozen yogurt, yeah, revolution. This is, I don't remember frozen yogurt before 1985, certainly. Like, it was a novelty when
I was
a kid.
Say, I would know.
And does it even exist anymore? I can't, mm-hmm, even think of frozen yogurt.
Oh, yeah,
places.
All those places now where you get the giant bowl and you put all the toppings on it, that's all on
that's
top
right,
of frozen
that's
yogurt.
Right, that's right,
so
that's
we
right.
do still have that idea. People are like, oh, I wouldn't eat Ben and Jerry's, but I'll go get this frozen yogurt. I mean,
I'll go put tons of M&Ms and
right,
gummy bears on top
on my
of a bowl
yogurt.
Of frozen yogurt.
Yeah, in a bowl like the size of my head. Yeah.
Right, but again, it's a very 1980s. Like, yeah, it is still not mired in the 80s, but it is still very much set in the 80s.
Right.
Like, oh, frozen yogurt is
a
new thing.
As evidenced by their, like, kind of matching tracksuits, right, when they run the 3-mile run.
So that's what, one other thing that's interesting is they don't supplement this with exercise until Gert Grizzly tells them to.
Right.
And they're like, they don't start becoming more active until she says to become more active. And they become more active by entering a race, which, you know, it's
couch to 5K.
Yeah.
It's a 3-mile race.
They couch to 5K. Yeah, exactly. 3-mile run, which is, you know, nice. And for the first time, maybe for the first time since we started these books, Mama Bear,
mm-hmm,
not wearing her, whatchamacall, her
moo-moo.
Her moo-moo, her nightgown, her dress. We don't know what it is. The blue dotted thing.
I call it the shmata.
Not wearing the shmata. She's wearing a gray tracksuit.
Matching Papa's. The best part, though, is that they had to keep the polka dot hat, because otherwise you'd be like, whoa, wait, who's that lady?
Yeah, because whenever Mama Bear is seen not in her dress, and if she was not wearing her hat, you would not know which was Mama and which was Papa, because you realize they look exactly the same.
Yeah, you're right.
They are exactly the same bear. She's slightly smaller, maybe, depending
That's
on like
pretty the way bears are.
That's what I was saying earlier. When you see the bear in the underwear, I'm like, right, because if you see a bear in the wild, it's just a bear. You're not like, there's a man bear, there's a woman bear.
Right.
And if you look at it wasn't, you know, not to get too like anatomical on this, but this was the first time I ever really looked at the Berenstain Bear books and realized they don't gender the bears by body shape.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
they don't.
True.
Mama Bear has the same physical build as Papa Bear.
There's, and sister and brother.
But I mean, especially for like an adult female and an adult male, they don't gender the body types. They look like they could be the same. Like, they look like bears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bears have the same, mm-hmm, gender body types.
Mm-hmm.
And that this was the first time I'd ever really noticed that. And I was kind of impressed by that.
And, you know, so then they win. I liked this also. They didn't win the race.
They finished.
They didn't come in last, but they didn't win. And then they got a prize for being the only family to finish the whole race. But I liked that they didn't just out of the blue suddenly win a race. And then Papa goes back and says, I know what, let's celebrate by opening up the freezer and have a carrot stick, interrupted brother. So there is that thing where you still go, like, every time something good happens, I need to celebrate with food. And on the one hand, I was before saying, you know, it's okay to sometimes have a treat. But on the other hand, it is pretty cool that brother's like, yeah, you don't actually have to do that.
Right, it sunk in for the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does bother me that then in the end, you know, once again, for some reason, Mom is standing with her arms crossed in that, like, look on her face. Like, everything's going great. Like, she, it's like, I feel like she and Papa are stuck in those, like, they're kind of mired in these archetypes that aren't, like, super useful.
They're not useful anymore. They're almost adversarial. And
yeah,
Mama in the second to last page has her arms folded. Her brows are so lowered that you can barely see her eyes. Like, right. They had to cheat in order to show her eyes. That's how just, like, that's how heavy her lids are. That's how triumphant she is. Like, I feel
like... she's just really, like, judgy.
Yeah, I feel like they're... She wouldn't have been happy. She's not happy until Papa almost slips up. Like, at the end, she still gets that one little dig, even though she doesn't say anything.
And then he, in the end, does eat a carrot stick, but he's giving her this sideways, like, shrug. Like, oh, huh.
Yep.
And she's giving him the knowing, like, sort of, like... Oh, aren't you cute? You're finally right. Seeing your way. Like, I mean, it's it's not modeling a partnership, and he's totally immature. And I do think sometimes there is kind of a polarization where when you have the parents and one goes a little off the deep end on one side, then the other sometimes balances by going even further off the deep end on right. The other side. So in that sense, it might be a little realistic, but it's sort of odd that the kids are the more mature almost.
Yeah. I mean, brother and sister are always presented as, you know, genuinely ready for anything kids. They're, I mean, I think mm-hmm. it's a good way to present kids to kids. Is
right.
They're adventurous. They're willing to try new things.
They got new tracksuits out of the deal.
Yeah, I just don't think that's true. Sisters matches her bow. And I just don't think that it's necessary for them to have presented Papa in the adversarial position. Like, they could have shown the parents working together to do it. Like, even if Papa's reluctant.
Right. The only thing I think it did gain is to have that voice of someone who would be whiny about it without making it the kids. So that part was cool, but they could have, like, tossed a friend in to do that.
This is the same. It's the same position that he ended up in Too Much TV, which is just, oh, I don't want to have to give this up. He didn't realize that he was part of it until it was too late and he'd been pulled
into it. Well, because
it.
He wasn't part of
because he wasn't
talking
part of it.
About it. Yeah.
But it's not unusual to bring it around to reality. I would say that in this household, you are the arbiter of good health.
I don't take other people's food away.
You certainly don't take other people's food away. We don't live in a giant cartoon.
I did actually this morning check. I don't know what this proves in either direction. So I do feel like there is food, junk food everywhere, and it's very hard mm-hmm. to deal with it. So that thing about, like, how many eating opportunities are there. So if you want to be reasonably healthy at home, sometimes it's really frustrating because they already, the kids in their life, already had so much junk food everywhere else.
Right.
That you, like, we never... ever buy cookies or anything. Everyone's talking about Girl Scout cookies. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
never buy that stuff because there's so much just coming into our house through other means. So I actually took a look today. We have this bowl where we keep all the Valentine candy that came from preschool, which is only like a class of like 15 kids or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that bag, there's actually like 4 pieces of Halloween candy still left, which shows you, by the way, which are the nastiest Halloween candies that no one wants to eat.
Well, I was going to say, we have this bowl that is, it's not just the Valentine candy bowl, it's the holiday candy bowl.
So
when you bring in candy from outside for whatever reason, it goes into the bowl and it gets divvied out as the year goes on.
Right.
Literally as the year goes on, because it starts in September.
Well, and you can't catch up. So I was looking at it going, are we going to finish we didn't finish the Halloween candy before Valentine's Day because there was so much. Do you remember? I counted. There were 130 pieces of Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's actually like a lot, right? Yeah. And then we got the Valentine's Day candy, which probably won't be gone before Easter candy shows up.
But in between Halloween and Christmas, I mean Halloween and Valentine's, we had Christmas.
Right.
We had
Hanukkah gelt too.
Hanukkah
in
gelt.
Our family. We had all of the above.
There is this influx of candy that I mean, I don't want to like date myself, but in my day, you just didn't get that much candy. You got Halloween, certainly, but you weren't handed candy at every turn. And this isn't just holidays. This is as rewards for achievements. This
bring the kid to Petco and mm-hmm. they say,
and
is
they
it okay if I
candy.
Give you a lollipop? And I mean, a pet food store, like, I guess. Yeah.
Right. And they say it in front of your kid too.
Right, right, right.
Which is like, well, I'm not going to be the bad guy. I'm not going to be subordinate to the Petco cashier. Like, it's like, well, yeah. Like, so of course you say yes and you let them have the sucker. And it's just a little bit of sugar, but it adds up. Like, and I feel like we live in a culture of of candy.
Well, and I love to bake, and I hardly ever do, because then when you've got brownies or cookies or something around, I actually usually freeze most of them so that there's only like a small number out, because otherwise you're just eating those and then you've still got the other candy around, and it is kind of amazing.
Well, and creating healthy meals is, I mean, I can attest to the fact that it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of learn how to cook. Unless you want to buy like frozen prepared stuff that's supposed to be healthy. But like, you know, like when it's my turn to cook versus your turn to cook,
any different stuff.
Any stranger walking in off the street will go, that's healthier than that stuff. He seems to be trying. She's succeeding at creating the healthier food. But I think that a lot of it has to do with like, you have to learn how to cook. That's a skill. And like, and if you don't enjoy doing it, then it's hard. And again, like,
and you have to plan it ahead a little more.
Right. And junk food is cheap,
mm-hmm.
and easy to get,
mm-hmm.
and it fills you up, and it gives you a momentary surge, and it's pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say that you're the healthy eater in the family, but we both enjoy junk food.
Oh, and if I had put all that stuff in the freezer, I totally would have been sneaking it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Like, that, I would be like, yeah, I'm not. There was it 2 years ago that Mitzi got in huge trouble for something? And I said, I'm throwing away all your Halloween candy. I didn't throw it away.
No, of course not. I'm going to assume that the reason that Mama doesn't want them to go into the freezer is because there's probably a lot of stuff missing,
yeah, right.
at this point.
Well, she is painted as having zero temptation. And that seemed, on the one hand, weird. But on the other hand, they did kind of remove the emotional component,
yeah.
which is maybe fine.
Right. Easy to forget that this is a book for preschoolers
right.
and kindergartners. Right. I do sometimes wish that, like, Mama would show that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like, she says in Too Much TV, I like TV. I just don't think we should watch it as much as we do.
Right.
In this book, I feel like Mama Bear has never touched a candy bar in
right.
her life, and I don't believe that.
Well, and again, with the gendered roles that they seem to have in that family, it would appear that she's the one who bought all that junk food.
Right, because she's the shopper.
Yeah.
I do want to say that growing up, okay, so the end pages of the book, the title page, has the words junk food spelled out in junk food.
It's actually pretty cute.
The J is like, I guess, taffy. The U is multicolored popcorns. The N is chocolate. The K is gumdrops. The F is
jelly beans.
Oh, I thought that was like sprees.
Oh, sprees.
Those are like sprees. The O is interlocked pretzels. The other O is like cheesy crackers. And the D is like M&Ms or Skittles. As a kid, this title page made me want candy so much.
Oh.
Like, it's the Berenstains, and I've heard people say this that I've talked to about the Berenstain Bears. The Berenstains know how to draw candy. They know how to make it look perfect.
Yeah, in
enticing.
Contrast to when they're in the supermarket and they buy the bananas, and I assume they were trying to shade them, but it just looks like they're horribly bruised.
Yeah, they're
Did
really
you notice
bruised.
That?
They're really
like
bruised
everyone's bananas. Car is full of these like terribly bruised bananas.
Again, it's the 80s. Your bananas were either green or they were old.
Yeah,
like that's basically your choices. But they show like the way the Berenstains draw gumballs, they're always round and shiny, and their chocolate bars look chewy and chocolatey, and Papa Bear, like, these bags fall out with some sort of balls, Choco Chums, sugar balls. You really want candy and cakes, like, after the Berenstains draw it. Like, so they could at least make the food look a little less appealing.
I didn't have that reaction.
Well, yes, but I have that reaction. Yes. I think I love candy. I love to eat the junk food. It's really hard. Like, we do live in a junk food society.
Yeah,
like, I work right down the hall from a vending machine that takes credit cards. That's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard not to just go in
there. Well, that's
a
good point, because I work down the hall from a vending machine too, and that's one area where I actually do have a personal rule. I've worked in this building for 4 years, and I've never used that vending machine. And there's some stuff in it that isn't even that bad for you, but I just made myself a rule. I was like, you cannot start just walking down the hallway and
I made that rule too. I totally made that rule. It lasted probably about a year and a half. Anything else you have?
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say is that overall, I think this book would actually meet the Michael Pollan standard, which is crazy that it was, what did you say, 31 years old. So, you know, the kind of the high roll-up of that is eat food, not too much, mostly plants. So they didn't deal with the not too much, but they definitely swapped out processed stuff for, like, homegrown fruits and vegetables and,
yeah.
like, whole foods primarily. And, I mean, his mostly plants is talking about meat, but, you know, they definitely started eating a lot. Their examples of snacks included Their examples of snacks included carrots and apples. And so I'm kind of impressed by that. Like, yeah. We think of that as like newer ways of thinking. And in some ways, I feel like we're a little more off track now because now we are so into the idea of, well, I can just eat the same kind of stuff and as much as I want if I just make it with a different type of recipe.
Right.
Like, I'll substitute applesauce. I was listening to a cooking show and someone called in and was like, how can I make blah, blah, blah with applesauce instead of all that fat? And they were like, don't. Just don't. It won't taste good. Make the real thing and take smaller pieces of it. We don't like to do that. We right. want to just be like, no, I'm still going to have mountains of it. And this book, so in some ways, I think this book is totally relevant, like more so than many of the other books so far in the series.
I agree. I used to have a lower opinion of this book until I had read Michael Pollan.
Seriously?
And, well,
everyone needs to read Michael Pollan.
Appreciate the variance, yes. Same variance. No, seriously, until I started reading really about nutrition and you had started reading more and we talked about it over the last, you know, over the years, and going back to this book and realizing that it is very on message. Like, it's a very modern message about nutrition. I mean, obviously the details here and there are a little wonky. I personally have a problem with them equating food simply with size.
Oh, like your body size?
Right, because like Mama's, it's sort of all yes. about the kids getting fat, yes. and then Papa splitting his pants.
Right.
As opposed to what I notice is one of the more noticeable signs of poor eating, which is lethargy, mood. Things that I notice in my own kids, which is when you're not eating well, you're not enjoying yourself. You're not enjoying life as much. Like, and when I'm not eating well, I start feeling bad. I start being moody. I don't sleep as well. It's hard for me to, like, when I snack, you want to stay up. There's just this general sense of, like, I don't know, like ickiness about life when you don't eat well.
And if you eat too much healthy food, you will still actually gain weight.
Right, right.
You know, like, you might be in a better place overall, but...
But again, like, I feel like that's a product of its time. This was the, you know, like, we're in the midst of the 80s fitness craze.
Yeah.
So there's this equating, you know, you equate nutrition with physical fitness, with exercise. Like, it's kind of all a mishmash.
Yeah. But, like, she doesn't put them all on a fad diet. Wasn't that the era of, like, the grapefruit diet or whatever? They don't do that.
This is the era of sitcoms and storybooks where daddy gets too fat, so that night at dinner the kids are all eating their dinner and then daddy gets
cheese.
A cottage cheese
yeah.
and a lettuce leaf
yeah.
like, so they don't do that
yeah.
right. This isn't about yeah. dieting. This is about
right
changing your
right.
changing your habits
right. And this is in a way that is actually sustainable. We're eating grapefruit and
right,
a
right.
lettuce leaf would not be so yeah. So overall, thumbs up.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say this is a solid book. It's got it's nicely illustrated. It's we're in the mid 80s, so the illustration style is getting a little more you're noticing a lot more the faces are becoming a little more standardized. The looks of the bears are becoming more standardized. The lines are getting a little more solid. There's not as much variation in background. There's not as much detail like on the edges, but the layout is still nice.
Yeah, and you know, actually, an exception to that is the very beginning where they show you the forest mm-hmm. scene. That looks like the older books to me,
right?
Where they do have a lot of detail.
Oh, you still get some nice scenery and stuff.
It's pretty cute. There's like a bunny eating dandelions, and
but there's more simplicity to a lot of the images until you get to that wonderful slideshow. And then they really pour it all into the blood and guts of the bears. Totally worth it for the slideshow. And again, nice message. So thumbs up from both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up from both of us. That's the Berenstain Bears and Too Much Junk Food. Alana, thanks for joining me again.
My pleasure.
I am glad we were able to work this out. For everyone listening out there, not in bear country, you're in bear country right now, I guess, but if you're, you know, wherever you are, listening in your car, in a chair, wherever you listen to a podcast.
In your chair.
I don't know where people listen to podcasts. Running your three mile races. Please rate and review our show on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at BStainBearCast. You can find us on Facebook. We have a nice little Facebook page where we post the latest episodes. You can write at berensteinbearcast@gmail.com, and you can find us online, berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com. We have a lot more stuff coming up in the future, so I hope to see you again. Alana, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
And we'll see you next time deep in bear country.